We are in, come follow me, week 38, which is 2 Corinthians chapters 8 through 13. And I wanted to start, yesterday in Sunday school, we asked the kids if they would share a time that they had a trial in their life that they felt like ended up being a blessing. And it actually was a risky question because I really thought, okay, they haven't really been through trials at this point in their life. And how wrong I was. And yesterday, I can honestly say, was one of the best Sunday school lessons I have ever been in. And one of our kids shared that as a sophomore, he signed up to take AP European History. And he said, the reason I signed up for it is I am really good at history. I really get it. I knew I would do well. And he said, all year in the class, I aced the tests and it wasn't hard for me. And he said, even before the night before the AP test, I watched a movie. And he said, I took the test, came home feeling just fine about it. And he goes, wouldn't you know it? A couple months pass and we get the results and I failed. And I just started to laugh. And he said, so my junior year, people kept encouraging me to take AP Calc. And he said, math is not my strong suit. I am not good at math. And I started to laugh because I taught math. And I said, the fact that you were taking AP Calculus as a junior, you are good at math. And he just said, no, it makes me feel so stupid. It makes me so aware that I don't get it. And he said, I did decide to do it. And he said, all year, I did horrible on the test. It makes me cry. All year, I struggled. And all year, I felt so dumb. And he said, I worked my tail off. And I took the test, came home, sure I had failed it. And he goes, couple months passed, and I got the results, and I passed the class. And he said, I never have to take math again, and I am ecstatic. And I said to him, do you feel that failing European history, something that you were so good at, was a blessing in the end for something you felt you were not good at? And he said, yes, I worked twice as hard. I was not going to put in the effort half-hearted and not do it, not give it my best shot. And that was such a profound way to sum up what trials are. And I was just so touched that their wisdom, all of them shared incredible things, but this is the one that really stuck with me. Just that attitude, just in a year of knowing how one heartbreak could make you so much stronger and make you succeed, and how grateful he was for that. Okay, so I want to start in chapter 8, verse 2. And it says, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And what that says to me in layman's terms is that our trials make us so much more gracious and aware of other people. We give because our hearts know what it is to lack. And another of our students shared that their family, her mom had a baby, and the baby lived for just a few hours, and they got to hold that baby, and then it died. And she said, I was 12 years old, and I will never forget when the spirit left that baby's body. We all sensed it. We all knew. And I said, how do you feel something so traumatic has been a blessing? And she said, because I do know there is a heaven. I do know there is a God who knows me and loves me. And I do know he has a plan. And just their testimonies were astounding to me. And one of the leaders in there with me said, and the thing that I would say about your family is your family is one of the most compassionate families I have ever met. And I really believe it's through that trial that you all learned that. And I just thought that was beautiful. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence in your love, see that ye abound in grace also. And I love that these trials made them abound. You are learning faith. You are learning knowledge. You are learning diligence. You are learning love, and you are giving it to others. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord. You know what it is to be comforted by him, and that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He descended below all things, so that he would know how to comfort us and succor us. And we are here on earth learning to become like him, learning to love, learning to serve, learning wisdom through our experiences. And I just love that. Okay, turn to chapter 9, or actually chapter 10. And it says this, verse 11, we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be indeed when we are present. And I just feel like that is put your money where your mouth is. Do the things that you profess. Let it scream from us who we follow, who we are trying to exemplify. And that family's charity is exactly the exemplification, however you say that, exemplifies that scripture. 15, not boasting of things without our measure or of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, which means going through, seeing what you've gone through and how you praise the Lord, we will be fortified. Any succeed, we all do. Any draw closer to Christ, it blesses us all. That's the blessing of testimony meeting. And just allows each of us to learn and be fortified. And I just love that. Verse or chapter 12, go to verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, Satan to buffet me. Verse 8. For is this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And I thought of the Beatitudes, where it says, blessed are the weak, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they, you know, those who are persecuted. And what it means is, blessed are you in any way that you lack, that makes you turn to God, makes you fall to your knees, knowing you cannot do it without him. Because then are we made humble. Then do we reach out to others who we see also struggling. Then are we more compassionate. Then do we know it is God and not us. He it is who saves. He it is who completes me. He it is who makes me more. And I love that. And then if you go to chapter 13, verse 5, it says this. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not for your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Can you say aught of yourselves? It is all God, and it is all so the works of him can be made manifest in us, that others will be drawn to him and praise him because they see him in us. Verse 9, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. It's not comparing ourselves to anyone else. It's that testimony I heard of that woman who stood and said, I need thee every hour, as she pointed to different people in the audience. Oh, how we fortify and strengthen one another when we allow others to walk with us in our journey to find Christ, that we all may be edified, that we all may be strengthened, and how grateful I am for friends who have opened their sorrows, their trials, their hearts to me and allowed me to grow. And I love that message. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.